Close your eyes and watch your breath. Watch it all the way in, all the way out. Try to breathe in a way that feels comfortable throughout the body. The mind needs a good place to stay. And as we do this, we're providing a good place for ourselves. We're also carrying on a tradition. Today we're marking the 24th anniversary of Ajahn Sweat's passing. And 24 is an important number in the Thai calendar. They have a 12-year cycle of years. So this is two cycles, complete cycles, since he passed away. We'd like to reflect on what he's done for us in establishing this monastery and try to renew our resolve to carry on the work that he did. As he said, he wanted a place where people of all languages, all nationalities could come and practice. And here we are. So how is our practice? Is our practice up to snuff? He dedicated a lot of time setting up this place. He has already established three different monasteries in America. He could have stayed at any one of them, but he wanted one more place that really would be a place out in the countryside where people could sit and meditate outside and have some peace and quiet, have some seclusion. He called this our quiet corner here. And it is a very noisy world right now. It's good to have this quiet corner. And then to reflect on what kind of practices he recommended. One point that he kept emphasizing over and over again was the need for restraint. You notice that people come to America looking for a land of freedom. And for a lot of people, freedom simply means doing what they want to do. But that, he said, was a form of slavery. Because what you want to do is basically what your defilements want to do, greed, aversion, and delusion, what they want to do. If you give them free rein, then you become a slave to them. If you really want to be free, you have to get beyond them. So you have to start by showing some restraint. Restraint doesn't solve the problem, but it puts up a dam so that you know when something goes past the dam that it's not good. In order to make sure that your actions stay within the limits of what's true, what's beneficial, what's timely. As he said, the stupidest people are the people who, when they can think of something and something goes into their brain, it comes out of their mouth. You want to have a couple of checkpoints to show some restraint, especially in not only in your actions, but also in your words. So the first checkpoint, is it true? If it's not true, then you don't say it. Second one is it beneficial? Beneficial means long-term benefit. It's easy to think of short-term benefits for almost anything you say. But how about the long term? Sometimes you say something just to be amusing, but it's not going to be good in the long term. Just think about the long term. That's the beginning of wisdom. And finally, is it timely? If something is true and beneficial, but it's not the right time for it, then you hold it back for the time being. Once your words pass these three checkpoints, okay, then you say them. They might say that's kind of slow. But as you get used to it, you begin to check more and more quickly. And it's good to think about your words before you say them, and rather than having to think about them after you've said them. Because usually when you think about them after you said them, you say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish you said it another way. So think about your words. Give some value to your words. If you don't give value to your words, no one else is going to give them any value. So dole them out like precious coins. And that way you get some restraints on your defilements. So we have to admit that not everything that comes into the mind is good. We like to think that we're basically good people, but we have all kinds of intentions, and the mind can switch direction faster than anything else in the world. The Buddha, who was a master of the apt simile, said there's no simile for how fast the mind changes direction. So you've got to keep careful watch over it. Make sure it stays in the right direction. This way you're not only exercising restraint, but you're pointing your mind in the right direction. So when we practice like this, we're carrying on Ajahn Sweat's traditions, the principles that he stressed over and over again. Keep these principles alive in the world. That's why we have this place. It's not just a nice place to sit around and meditate, but it's a good place to carry on the tradition of all the Dharma that the Buddha taught. So that we not only benefit, but other people benefit as well. The next generation of people around us benefit too. As you said, we established a place here. We're not here to get other people, we're here primarily to get ourselves. But if other people see that this is good and they want to join us, that's fine. In other words, we don't change the Dharma to suit people's preferences. We try to change people so that they are in line with the Dharma. Practicing the Dharma in line with the Dharma, that was just another theme that he stressed over and over again. So we benefit, the people around us benefit, the people who come after us benefit. Because we take the benefit we receive from people like Ajahn Sawat, we try to maintain it in this world, which is so full of noise and confusion. So these are some bright lights in the world. Keep it from being totally dark.